I thought it would be appropriate today to speak on Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation and say, to Zion, your God reigns. So just for a few moments together as we come near a conclusion, I felt this was an appropriate verse as we think about Steve and Rhonda. I don't know whether you consider yourself to have beautiful feet. Speaking for us as men, we usually try and keep them covered. We probably don't consider them to be our most handsome feature. There are, of course, many treatments in offer. You can get foot spas and massages and pedicures. I confess, I have not taken part in any. I don't know what they're like. But today I want to encourage you that God can consider your feet to be beautiful. Today, as we have commissioned, and in a sense even recommissioned, Steve and Rhonda to go in a missionary endeavor, they are the sent ones. Isaiah 52 and 7 is used by the Apostle Paul as he speaks about the gospel going out into all the world. In Romans chapter 10, he says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Today we have taken part in a special commissioning. And in a sense, that it's a sort of a full-time role, albeit going out for 6 months, but home for 6 months, but continuing in that missionary endeavor. But of course, for all of us, the general commission of Jesus stands. The general commission to go into all the world applies to all of us. We don't have to go across the world. We don't have to go across the water. We have a mission field on our doorstep. We have a mission field in Ballymena. We have a mission field wherever you live. And so mission needs to be part of our DNA. Although we've had a special commissioning today, it reminds us that we too can have beautiful feet. We too, if we are obedient to the good news of Jesus and sharing that good news, God will say of us, how beautiful are your feet. This morning, I very simply want to share three reasons why the gospel is good news and why God says your feet are beautiful if you obediently go with this gospel. Three things of why this gospel is good news and beautiful news. First of all, because it deals with reality. The Bible is a book that deals with reality. It does not hide reality. And the ultimate reality, of course, is that we are all impacted by sin. Every single person born of woman, except for one, as we know, was infected, impacted, tainted by sin. And so wherever you go in this world, from Derry to Dublin to Delhi to Dallas to Dortmund to Dakar, all have sinned. That little word all means all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not as free as we think we are. We are bound in chains of sin and selfishness and pride. Now, of course, many people do not like to look upon themselves as being in danger. We do not like to be told that we're wrong. We don't like to be told we have an illness, or that we're in a relationship that's in trouble, or that we're about to lose our job. All these bad news situations that we encounter in life. And yet, if they're dealing with reality, there is something good about that, actually. We cannot hide from reality. If you are in crippling debt or in a state of addiction, you might want to hide from that truth, but the reality is there. It keeps staring you in the face. And for something to be good news, sometimes you have to receive the hard news and the difficult news. And the gospel, before it is good news, is difficult news. It's hard news, You've all sinned. I have sinned. You have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We're under condemnation. We're under his wrath. In Isaiah 52, the prophet Isaiah was reminding the people of Jerusalem that they were in captivity to the Babylonians. But he said, there is good news coming. And those like myself who are proclaiming the good news, I want you to listen. The good news is that you're going to be rescued. Trust in God. Don't trust in yourself. Keep trusting in God. He will rescue you. The good news of peace and salvation and victory is coming. Beautiful feet bring good news, and it's good news, first of all, because it deals with ultimate reality. John Wesley, when he was training his young preachers in training, he said to them, preach the law until they're convicted. Then preach grace until they are converted. But we don't really experience conversion until we're convicted. It's good news because it deals with reality. Secondly, it's good news because it offers a real solution. God offered the people of Israel victory if they trusted in him, and he couches it in terms of salvation. Here is the ultimate reality. You're in captivity. You don't have your freedom. But here, secondly, is the solution. Trust in me. And ultimately, in the New Testament, the trust is revealed to be placed in Jesus Christ. Humankind's greatest problem is our sin. The results of sin fills our news bulletins, our social feeds, our courts, our prison cells, even our hospitals. And every day, we're surrounded by sin and its impact. And we need a solution. Paul reminds us that the solution is in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. He richly blesses everyone who calls on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's good news. It deals with ultimate reality. It's good news. It fixes the problem. The only one who could fix the problem was Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And whenever he died on the cross, he died what the theologians call a substitutionary death. It should have been us on the cross, but Jesus took my place. He took your place. The good news is that Jesus takes the sin on his shoulders. The ultimate reality of sin that impacts every single person. No doctor can fix that problem. No lawyer can fix that problem. No politician can fix that problem. No preacher even can fix that problem. But Jesus alone fixes that problem. Those who carry the good news wherever they go have beautiful feet. It's good news because it deals with ultimate reality. It's good news because it gives the ultimate solution. And thirdly and finally, it's good news because it's personally delivered. You see, God works through people. He works through relationships. I'm sure that God, in his wisdom and in his sovereignty, could have designed it that he could have worked apart from any human being, he could have worked apart or beside any human influence. But he decides to work through us. He decides to work through people. Frail, vulnerable, yes, and even sinful people. So it's good news, and it's beautiful news because he works through people. People who have feet. Most people come to faith through the influence of a person. Whenever the statistics are published about how did people come to faith, yes, some maybe came to faith through a preacher or someone like Billy Graham. But the vast, vast, vast majority of people come to faith through another person that they knew, a family member, a friend, a work colleague, maybe by their example, by how they lived, by their influence, by what they said, what they shared. The vast majority of people, it comes through that personal influence. You see, feet speaks of movement. That's what feet are for mobility, movement. And it's the feet that move in obedience to God and bring that good news that are especially beautiful. As so often in life, the context is important. The rubbing shoulders with people is important. And that's what Steve and Rhonda are aiming to do, to rub shoulders with people, both in a church context and outside of a church context, to meet them at their point of need, whether that's through CBT or whether through, you know, construction work or whatever, but to start the conversation, to have that proximity. In our mission guidelines, our current mission guidelines, it says, many missionaries today find they cannot enter countries just to preach the gospel. However, they can gain entry as teachers, doctors, engineers, and so on. They go to show the love of Christ in practical ways and find that in doing these practical jobs, there are opportunities for evangelism and disciple-making. Tim Keller, and I've quoted this before, Tim Keller says, if we confuse evangelism and social justice, we lose what is the single most unique service that Christians can offer the world. Others alongside believers can feed the hungry, but Christians have the gospel of Jesus. When some Christians say caring for physical needs will detract from evangelism, they must be thinking of doing evangelism among people who are comfortable and well off. But Christians who live or work in needy communities, in order to do evangelism, must inevitably become involved in helping their neighbors. To fail to do so is simply a lack of love. It is also impractical. If you wish to share your faith with needy people, and you do nothing about the painful conditions in which they live, you will fail to show them Christ's beauty. We must neither confuse evangelism with doing justice, nor separate them from one another. We speak to the whole person. We are body and soul. So Steve and Rhonda go out in October, go out with the prayers and backing of this church. Their feet are beautiful because they're carrying with them the message, the good news that deals with ultimate reality. The good news that brings the only solution in Jesus Christ. And it's delivered by ordinary people, by Steve and Rhonda and others, in obedience to God. Our prayer is that many will discover the joy that Isaiah speaks of through the work and ministry, not only of Steve and Rhonda and UFM, but your ministry, my ministry, as you rub shoulders with people this week. Isaiah 52 finishes, listen, your watchmen lift up their voices, together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. They will burst into songs of joy together, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. He has laid bare his holy arm, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this service. As we have commissioned Steve and Rhonda, we have also, in a sense, recommissioned ourselves to the importance of the Great Commission. Help us, Lord, to be examples through word and through witness and through deed of the fact that Jesus is the hope in our lives, that he makes all the difference. We pray, Lord, that you would use us, that we would be obedient as we seek to live out and face these realities in our world, as we bring the good news, Jesus is alive, Jesus is here by his Spirit. He changes our lives and he brings salvation. And all we pray for the glory of God, and until that day Jesus calls or comes and we gather around his throne, every tribe, every tongue, every nation falling down, declaring Jesus is Lord. And to that end, Lord, help us to keep going, to keep persevering, knowing that you hold us fast until that day. In the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake we pray. Amen.